Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light purifier for only...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Bob, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good.
All right.
Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. And so basically...
the last 2 to 3 weeks. And so people who are the buyers are paying premium prices. And I think they're going to regret it. The problems haven't gone away. They're all bankrupt.
And yeah. It was very interesting. One of the people I really enjoy is Ambrose Evans Pritchard. I don't know if you read him regularly, but I do. And he's just saying, he was with the Sunday Times. He read wrote a wonderful book about Bill Clinton, The Secret Life of Bill Clinton. I interviewed him when he was in this country. But he's back over in London writing there as their financial editor. And, as he says, he thinks that this run-up in the stock market is simply a trap for people who want, of course, to make money in the stock market and don't understand that nothing is as it appears to be.
Yeah, I did read Ambrose Pritchard's article over the weekend. But it's nothing that we haven't been saying for some time. In the International Forecaster.
Well, I know. Certainly have thought that he must be reading the Forecaster. He agreed with it completely.
Well, I hope he is, and I hope that he can glean some information that'll help him inform many more people of the terrible crisis that the world is in. You know, it's 22 months now, and nothing's really been fixed. They've created... $12.8 trillion in money and credit via the Treasury and the Fed. You get secret monies being shipped through to favorite Illuminous companies. You've got a stock market that went up on hot air, and it'll come down on hot air. I'm just hoping it'll come down slowly. And, of course, that's not good for investors because it deceives them, and they don't get out, which they should. Everybody should be out of the market in both bonds and shares. The only exception is gold and silver shares. Because the whole market's going down, it'll take everything else with it. The bond market has broken down. It's going considerably lower, which means yields are going higher over a period of time. It'll take a while. And the Fed is and the Treasury is struggling desperately to drive the yield down on the 10-year note.
Well, you know, what I'm really worried about is that an awful lot of the people who bought the corporate bonds are going to get fleeced, like the people, of course, who were in General Motors and Chrysler. And of course, their holdings are just becoming relatively worthless. But I would think that a lot of the other major corporations are in trouble as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would...
Why don't you hold that thought? We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapin right here at the Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Oh, our guest today is Bob Chapin of the International Forecaster, and we're talking about what is going on as far as the stock and bond market. And of course, bonds have always been the investment of retirees, people who wanted to get something that would give them a good return on investment, and yet, of course, give them the security, especially when you're older. You realize you can't recoup your losses if you're in speculative stocks. If they go up, fine, but if they go down, why, of course, you lose your capital, and it's very hard to replenish. So a lot of people are in bonds, but many of our corporations are in real trouble, and we saw what happened when, of course, Chrysler went into bankruptcy, and the people who held bonds and that, of course, you know, even preferred bonds, so they had little or no standing and got to get pennies on the dollar, and of course... Fiat just happens, just by chance, to be a member of the Trilateral Commission, this little club that runs the United States government. So, you know, I would think that people throughout the country would be frightened to death when suddenly all the laws we've had as far as bonds are concerned and the rights of bondholders to the assets of the company have suddenly been abrogated by the Obama administration without even so much as a thank you.
Well, that's true. And actually, Fiat can come up with 51%. The unions are supposed to get 58%. The U.S. is supposed to get 8% for their $8.4 billion further injection. The Canadian government and the province of Ontario are injecting $2.4 billion, and they're going to get 2% for that. So that adds up to more than 100%, so, you know, there's nothing left for the shareholders, the bondholders, and the bondholders have been offered 29 cents on the dollar. And the judge has broken all laws pertaining to bankruptcy.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapin. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Bob Chapin. He's just pointing out that in the Chrysler bankruptcy, the judge has violated all of the laws. There are certain laws that deal with bankruptcy. Corporation goes into bankruptcy. You have a hierarchy of claims. You have the superior claims. You know, the secured claims. You have the, you know, the junior claims. They only get money if something's left. But the people with the junior claims, which is the union, are going to get 55% of the company, or maybe more than that. And but the bondholders have been actually threatened. Their lives have been threatened, you know, to keep them from going ahead and objecting to what's going on. And they've been threatened, and they claim they've been called by the White House and told that they would have their reputations and their companies destroyed if they did not go along and take the 29%. How can you run a government that's threatening people that are just objecting to being robbed?
Well, the people behind the scenes and people who were appointed, most of whom are from Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup in New York, all of whom are owners of the Federal Reserve, and, you know, they continue to do these sort of things under the last administration and under this one. It's been a seamless passage and has nothing to do with parties and has nothing to do with left or right. It only has something to do with the people who control everything from behind the scenes. And I think that the people have got to realize that your government is out of control, your Congress has been bought off, and you're going to end up with a very, very terrible deflationary depression. Your country's going to be in chaos because it's so hard to be able to affect any legislation of any worth. Ron Paul has got House Bill 1207, and he wants to investigate and make the Federal Reserve report and their books to be open to audit. I saw the interview of the IG from government, who's supposedly looking into the Fed, and she lied. Well, she's dumb, and I have her on tape in the next issue. Incidentally, I wrote a long piece about the Federal Reserve, and I've been doing a lot of radio programs throughout the United States on the Federal Reserve starting today. I'll probably end up doing about 50 of them. And
well, why don't you go ahead and tell us about the Federal Reserve, if you'd like.
I don't know. I've been keeping it a secret. No, I'm only kidding. But anyway, I will get into that in a sec. But the avenue that we've got left is this. We got 134 sponsors, if I'm correct. I think that's what it is, and co-sponsors on Paul's bill. And my guess is that we might be able to get 160 or 70. I think we need about, I don't know what the figure is, well, I guess 240 votes. If we can get that passed and then pass a bill to get rid of the Federal Reserve after people see what they've done, we get a chance. We have a chance. And that's very important. The Fed runs the entire system. I mean, the whole thing hinges on the power of the Fed. And that's why it's so important. So getting those two bills done is extremely important. The first one, which is still in committee, to the congressman, and they'll vote against it. But, you know, I don't know when they're going to start listening to the people, if ever. And but anyway, that's what we're at. The only other thing that we could do to stop what's going on is to pass legislation instituting tariffs against or on goods and services coming into the United States. And that's the other key. And if we can get those two keys done, we can win.
Well, of course, the thing is that there is no way that the people who want to destroy this nation will allow tariffs. Tariffs were introduced by the people who created this country to protect our industry. The people who are in charge today want to destroy our industry. That's why they don't want any tariffs. And they keep telling us how great things are. Really, tariffs are going to make us so much more prosperous. Look at what's happening to our country. Look at our massive trade deficits. And they say, well, but they're good for the rest of the world. And they are good for the rest of the world. We're transferring our wealth to the rest of the world. And the whole idea is to impoverish the American people. And yet, I agree with you totally, Bob, but I mean, until the American people get rid of literally every member of Congress, House and every member of the Senate, they've all been bought off. In fact, I'm just reading some of the things Thomas Jefferson wrote, you know, back in the early 1800s about how the bankers were able to buy the politicians. I'm reading the things that Andrew Jackson wrote in 1830s about how the bankers were buying the politicians. I'm reading an article that Robert Reich wrote back in, and published in USA Today in January 7th of 1999, where he said that Congress is out of the loop. I mean, these people already control everything, and you try to get a copy of that, why USA Today doesn't even remember ever publishing it, but it's up on the Internet, many, many, you know, but what they've done is they suppress things that really tell the truth. This is the amazing thing about what's going on today. Thank goodness for the Internet.
Well, they control major media, and I was on a number of programs earlier today. One with Bob Ney, who is the defrocked congressman who was in taking special favors, we'll call them, from Abramoff. And he, you know, he agreed with you on the corruption and the fact, you know, what the Federal Reserve has done, et cetera. And we talked about NAFTA and CAFTA and the North American Union and things like that. But the people in Washington, they know what's going on. And they only can take this thing so far, no matter what they do, because sooner or later they're going to have to meet reality. And they think they've got it all figured out, when in fact they don't. And things are not going to go that way. But the alternative to Congress reacting on the Federal Reserve or in the trade issue, there'll be a revolution in the United States. There's no question. I mean, I had somebody call in on a program today. He said, look, I'm in my 30s. I get three kids, and you're telling me I'm going to get laid off? And I said, well, there's a good chance of it. About 35% of Americans are going to get laid off, and this is the reason why. And I explained it. But the Federal Reserve is totally corrupt. The American people work for them in Wall Street and banking, and that's just the way it is. And if it's not stopped, we'll be totally enslaved.
I agree with you totally, Bob, and I think we just have to try to get the American people to understand what is happening. The whole thing is so incredible. People don't understand that the Federal Reserve System and the major banks, and of course these are the major banks, can create money and credit out of nothing. And they created an artificial prosperity, and now they have intentionally and purposely and maliciously created this recession. The Fed is doing everything they can to prevent small banks from lending money by simply paying, as you pointed out, interest on their reserves. So they've sucked up almost half a trillion dollars in reserves of the small banks. And then, of course, since they can leverage 10 to 1, that's almost $5 trillion that could be lent out there. They don't want the lending. The large banks are in on the scam, and they're specifically not lending. They're making it very difficult to get loans because, of course, they want to create this economic collapse. But it's so hard for the people to believe that when we hear all the things the government is doing to try to get things straightened out, and they got these wonderful programs like Home for Homeowners, you know, I think that was about 6 months ago, going to help 400,000 homeowners. I think one homeowner actually had his mortgage rewritten. All the rest was smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, there's private organizations that are funded by government that are doing the same thing, especially in California and the Northeast. And, you know, you say to them, well, where does your money come from? Well, we get private donations. I said, how much comes from government? Oh, 60%. So, you know, it's just more socialism. All these people bought homes. They knew where they were not all.
Now, are you on the air? What's
care.
My... Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our guest is Bob Chapman. And we're talking about what's going on financially. The whole story is so incredible that most people really are incapable of understanding it. They cannot believe anybody would be wicked enough. But, you see, the only way that they're going to be able to get the whole world to go into this world government is to collapse the economy around the entire world. And then, of course, people will have two choices. Every nation, you'll either come into this one world government or you'll face chaos. And that's exactly what's going on. That is why, of course, they created this chaotic situation. Well, Bob, you go right ahead and pick up the story.
I think I'm going to go back to the stock market again. This is the end of a bear market rally, and hopefully the market will come down rather slowly, and so it won't be too mentally destructive to people. But we're going to go back from 8,500 and test 6,600. It has to happen, and I don't think 6,600 will hold. There's no election this year, so... there's no political reasons to hold the market up when it's so very difficult to do so, and especially to make it rally the way that they did. And I won't go into the reasons why they and how they rallied it, but the main thing was to get the value of the shares of financial institutions higher so they could float these giant 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 billion each company. Float these shares so they could bone up with some more money because those stocks are going to drop 50%, and that's what's going to happen. And I was short the financials. We covered, made a giant profit, and then they ran up, and we shorted them again, not all of them, but some of them. And you know, the logic of people that I have to answer questions for is so naive. I mean, they just don't get it. Even though they know there's something wrong, they don't understand how these people are doing what they're doing. And they're going to continue doing this as long as we allow them to. And I think that we're going to eventually go to 4,000, and we're going to be lucky if it stops there. And that means most of the insurance companies won't be able to pay off. I mean, annuities won't be able to pay off in total. And it also means people who are in pension and profit-sharing plans are going to get killed. And it's going to be a very, very sad time because most people are not listening. The stockbrokers are telling them, as they did when the Dow was 14,000, everything's going to be okay. The market always comes back. You haven't taken any losses yet, so don't worry about it. They're burying them, just absolutely burying them. And, you know, I heard the same story. We told everybody to get out at 14,000. Nobody wanted to listen. And, of course, you saw the results. And we did get some people out. And some of them foolishly went back in again. And they're going to get their heads handed to them. These brokers, all they're interested in commissions. And, you know, I know lots about that business. I did it for 28 years. So I wanted to say that because it's important. And you would pension plans, if you can withdraw some of the money out of them, you should. And then you have the possibility in time of legislation, which could be, could consist of.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. We're basically talking about what is going on as far as the as far as the market, Bob thinks that this is a bear rally, and of course it's going to drop off again, and that people are going to, who are jumping in the market now thinking that they want to get on before it goes back all the way up, are going to get just destroyed again. And of course this is a standard technique that is used over and over and over again. Playing on your hopes, you know, people become desperate. And then, of course, we're looking at the major pension funds. I mean, their money is invested in the stock market, and they're losing money. The insurance companies, they're invested in the stock market, they're losing money. The Federal Deposit Insurance Company that insures our bank accounts and tells you nobody's ever lost a penny, you know, in their bank accounts in 75 years, but they're just about out of money. They're asking for permission to borrow $500 billion from the Treasury. Where's the Treasury going to get the money? Well, they're just going to have to create it out of nothing. And then the insurance companies are saying, well, you're bailing out the banks. Why can't you bail us out, too? And the money market funds and the pension funds, and everybody's going to the government to get bailed out. And why, they've got lots of money. They just create it out of nothing. But eventually what happens, you end up like Zimbabwe or the Weimar Republic, and it's happened, you know, dozens of times through the centuries. It happened in ancient Rome. It happened in ancient Greece. It's just such a shame, Bob, that they never teach people history lessons.
No, it's a thing that's no longer important in high school. It's passé. And, you know, I can remember I had 4 years of Latin, and it just taught you the futility of war that Rome, you know, went out to get riches to bring back to support the country and the city, especially. And the lessons are all there. I compare in my next article, which has the Federal Reserve piece in it, the collapse in the Lombard system in 1348, the year of the great bubonic plague. And this is very similar to that, because it's going to take the entire system down.
Was that the system that was in Venice or the one that was in Florence?
No, in Venice.
In Venice. And why
Venice,
did you Florence tell
Latin later.
Right, because that was in the early 1600s. But could you explain to people about what happened in Venice? Because most people don't understand. They had a fractional reserve banking system in Venice, and it created great prosperity for a time.
The same thing we got today. These people have been doing this thing for the last 2,000 years. I mean, it's the same gang of people and some additions and deletions. Many, many of them are related through, you know, third and fourth and fifth removed, some are eighth or ninth removed. I mean, even Obama's related to these people through his mother. And so, you know, it's all there, and but nobody wants to listen. And I'm one of the few people who write about those things today to let people know that, you know, essentially the game's over unless you can get Congress to pass Ron Paul's bill on the Federal Reserve and then follow it up with the dissolution of the Federal Reserve and put import tariffs on so that we can compete again. And if those things are not done, you may well be fighting in the streets. And it's not only in America. I get letters from all over the world explaining, you know, here in Colombia we got the same thing. Here in Kazakhstan we got the same thing. And, you know, people, we are waking up millions of people every day. And so our efforts are worthwhile, believe me.
Well, all we can do is do our best. In the final analysis, we're going to have to look to God's intervention, but we are called to do things. Trouble, we've got so many Christians, they're so heavenly-minded, they know what's really good, and they're just waiting for the Lord to return. I hope he does return, but what happens if he doesn't return until 30 years after America has been destroyed and our families and everything we've worked for our whole lives has been destroyed? We're to occupy until he comes, and this idea that, oh, well, we don't have to be involved because he's going to take care of it. Well, let's hope and smile upon. Today, we'll be right back. Dr. Stan. Bob, go right ahead and pick up the story.
I was just thinking of something that I wrote today, and I've got to find it for you. And hopefully it's close at hand here, and I want to read it to you if I can get a hold of it. It's about how the government tried to handle the Great Depression. And I said, looking back, Herbert Hoover was wrong in starting off the socialist fascist era that began the 1930s Great Depression. Franklin Delano Roosevelt carried out that program, and it was a failure. America was saved by war at a terrible price. This is where I think it gets interesting. Andrew Mellon was right in advocating that government must keep its hands off and let the slump liquidate itself, purge the rottenness out of the system. Mr. Mellon said, liquidate labor, stocks, farmers, and real estate. No more high living. People will work harder and lead a more moral life. Values have to be adjusted, and enterprising people will pick up the wrecks from the less competent people. And that's really the way it has to be. And that is the way ultimately it's going to be. Because that's where this is all headed, and that is into a very, very, very severe depression. And people have got to prepare for it emotionally, religiously, physically, being able to provide for your family and being able to access water so that it's clean and pure and be able to defend your family and whatever money that you have that you can protect your wealth by being in gold and silver. And so there's a lot of work to do. I discussed this today on one of the programs I was on, which is Crosstalk, which is a big Christian program. And I get about, I would say, 10 call-ins. All of the questions were very sophisticated, the kind of questions we get on your show, Stan. So I was really up after the program because, you know, people are really learning what it's all about.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Bob was simply talking about how they're doing other programs. So many of the people there seem to be fairly well informed about what's taking place, and this is encouraging. Our job, and your job out there in listening audience, is to get the information out, to talk to people, not to lecture them, but just try to get them to think, ask them questions, ask them if they understand that how banks create money out of nothing, ask them if they understand how the Federal Reserve is restricting loans. They keep telling you they're trying to get people loaning, but they're really not. Of course, the people understood the scam. Some of them might be a little bit angry after they've lost their home and their job and their family and their health insurance. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there across America and you have a question for Bob, don't be bashful. So give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then, of course, Bob, you go ahead and why don't you go tell it, listeners how.
Three ways. Go to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com. theinternationalforecaster.com. You can email us at bob@intforecaster.com, bob@inforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right. Well, let's go to Tony, who's calling from Spokane. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I would simply point out that the whole economy of all of the world is collapsing. Now, this didn't happen by accident. It happened as part of long-range planning. And, of course, these companies throughout the world, banks throughout the world, corporations throughout the world, countries throughout the world look to America for a source of stability and profit, and they purchased these fraudulent bonds that were made up of fraudulent mortgages that had fraudulent ratings and fraudulent derivatives to guarantee them, the insurance policies to guarantee the value. And, of course, why isn't anybody suing the major United States banks that sold the fraudulent assets? Well, probably they're afraid they'd be threatened like the hedge funds and pension funds that wanted to challenge the Chrysler sale, you know, and going into bankruptcy and turning over the value of what they tens of billions of dollars of losses if he went ahead with the deal. And he was threatened and told he had to go ahead with the deal when they began using threats on major corporate leaders here in America. Why, of course, we as a country are in trouble. Well, let's go to Tony calling Spokane. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Tony, speak up there.
Oh, how you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing fine. Good to hear from you. Do you have a question or comment?
I wanted to ask Bob what he thinks of what's going on with the dollar now. It looks like it might break 82, and if he sees it going maybe down to 80, maybe 75 or worse. And also, from either one of you, what do you think about Oklahoma passing this sovereignty resolution? I understand they have like a veto-proof margin there. The governor says he's going to veto it, but they've got enough votes to override the veto. So the dollar and the state sovereignty thing here in Oklahoma, if you'd comment on that.
All right, you got two questions, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tony. And, of course, the first question
is... the first one is the dollar. And all of the subscribers to the International Forecaster were told 3 weeks ago when the USDX index, which is the dollar index, topped out at 89.5, we said that the dollar rally after 8 months was finally over. And we instructed people who it's suitable for to short that index and short the dollar. And I just got a close here. And today, actually the dollar index was up a wee bit today. It was up 0.31 at 82.80. On Friday, it was 82.43.
Well, do you think it would be a good idea to short the Standard & Poor's index at the present time or the Dow Jones index?
Both, yes. And, you know, anything in that venue, I would be shorting. We've given individual shorts that have done enormously well. But, you know, this is not for the faint of heart. I mean, you're speculating on whether the dollar's going to go down or whether the market's going to go down. And so it takes a certain type of individual investor, and it takes a certain person who knows and understands the market well to do that. I do not recommend trading, except for those who understand and know. And I want people, whether they're long or short, to be long-term. And this way, they don't jump up and down every time something goes up and something goes down. I mean, it's a durational thing. And so you've got to take that kind of attitude. If you're patient, it comes to you if you know the right direction and the trend, and that's what the International Forecast is all about.
All right, well, the second question was basically what your thoughts were as far as the sovereignty resolution that passed the House and the Senate in Oklahoma. The governor says he's going to veto it, but of course they have enough votes to override the veto. Overwhelming support from the legislators there in Oklahoma the sovereignty resolution, which basically says we're going to adhere to the 10th Amendment, and most of what the federal government is doing is unconstitutional. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's wonderful. And, you know, I am so surprised that, you know, this thing about 6 months ago came out of the blue. You know, I've been talking about all powers not given to the federal government are hereby given to the states. And for years and years, almost 50 years, I've said, you know, why are we tolerating this? And finally, how many states we got doing this right now?
We got a fair number, maybe 10 or 11, somewhere there, 9 to 11.
No, it's in the legislatures of over 30 states. And it's not that they're going to leave the union, but they're just letting them know in Washington, you're not going to do this and you're not going to do that. And Washington's going to have a choice. They're either going to try to force states to do that, which I think they will, and that will lead to revolution and probably a breakup of the union.
Well, I think that our good friend Charles Key, I think he's one of the people in the legislature there in Oklahoma that is behind that. In fact, we sent him a donation when we found he was running. We certainly worked with him very closely during the analysis of the Oklahoma City bombing. It's obvious we have never been told the truth. It's obvious that Timothy McVeigh was working for the government. Why do I say that? Because he told his sister, and you can read that in a book called OK Bomb. Timothy McVeigh told his sister that he's working for a special forces unit that was involved in illegal activity. Of course, the man who wrote the book died mysteriously. His publisher died mysteriously. His ex-wife died mysteriously. That was Jim Keith. The book, OK Bomb, you can probably get it on the Internet. Timothy McVeigh told his cellmate, the man in the next cell to him in the prison there in Colorado, he was working for the government. That's covering the book called A Secret Worth Dying For. But, of course, you're never going to hear about this in CBS. He told this to Terry Nichols, and, of course, Terry Nichols' lawyer is Mr. Tretidome, who's trying to get the information out. But the last thing they want is for the American people to discover that all those people died in Oklahoma City, and the real culprits have never been brought to justice. And I suspect the same thing happened on September 11th, when there was obviously a controlled demolition in Building 7. If there was a controlled demolition in Building 7, then there was a controlled demolition in the Twin Towers. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I hope you'll check out those stories about Timothy McVeigh. Because if he was really working for a secret special forces unit that was involved in illegal activity, then it puts an entirely different slant on, of course, what happened that fateful day. And Charles Key, who's leading the battle in Oklahoma today for states' rights and for the 10th Amendment and for forcing the government to do what's right, was certainly intimately involved, of course, many years ago when we were working on the story of Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City bombing. Well, Bob, certainly, as we look and see what's going on today, and gold is certainly not doing very well. It's just sort of sitting there, going up and down a little bit. I think it was, about 9:15 today, and ended up a little bit from 2 weeks ago. But do you think that they'll go up in the summer, or do you think maybe it'll wait until the fall?
Well, I think it's in a reverse head and shoulders, and it's a question when. And I don't know. Nobody else does. The reason it's where it's at is the government is holding it down as best they can. It's temporary, and because they can't hold gold down anymore for any extended period of time, because they don't have enough gold up to do it. So they short the market and hoping they can get away with it. And so that's why gold is lingering where it is. But this head and shoulders, reverse head and shoulders, is going to be a catapult in. It could be May, it could be June, it could be any time. But gold is going on well over 1,000. And that's from a technical as well as a fundamental point of view. And so anybody who has a mind to should be in gold and silver-related assets. And if you don't have them, you certainly should buy them. whether they're coins or stocks or both. It's the only way to preserve your wealth. And if you don't do that and you do have a fair amount of money, you're going to lose it.
I really think that it's so difficult for people to, just change their whole outlook. I mean, they've spent their whole lives invested in stocks and bonds, and they've done pretty well. But they don't understand that there's an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy the value of our currency, to debauch our currency. And, of course, that is how they're going to impoverish the American people. That's exactly what our State Department brought about in Zimbabwe by keeping Mugabe in power there, and of course they've impoverished the people. I think it was just sort of a trial run for what's going to be happening here in the United States, and I do hope that I'm wrong. Well, I number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, our guest Bob Chapin from the International Forecaster. And, Chris, certainly as we look and see what's happening, Chris, we find the unemployment rate is ridiculously high. And they're trying to tell us, oh, isn't it wonderful? Not as many people lost their jobs last month as they did the two previous months. In February and March, there were about 670,000 Americans who lost their jobs. Last month, there was only 539,000. But that really wasn't an accurate figure, was it, Bob?
No, it wasn't, and I noticed that McClatchy picked up on it today. That's the news service, and they said that that the figures were bogus. And that's the first time any mainline news publication has come out and said government statistics are just bogus. And next, what they'll start doing in time is point out how the Federal Reserve, particularly the working group in financial markets, which is part of the Treasury, is manipulating all the markets. And that will come to pass. And we're going to see the great exposure and frocking of these people who are in banking and Wall Street and Federal Reserve and in our government, how terribly evil they are and what they've done to the American person, and relieving of them of the fruits of their labor, taxing them to death, and letting people die and that don't have to die. It's monstrous what they've done.
Well, of course, waging wars. We have no business over in Afghanistan. Why are we fighting there? Well, my goodness, we got to keep the terrible Taliban. We financed the Taliban from the inception. We financed Al-Qaeda. And we're giving money to Pakistan today that's financing Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and they tell us, well, now their military is moving against Taliban. Maybe they are. Maybe they're killing a few of them. But, I mean, they've still been financing them for the last 7 years. Why doesn't anybody ever complain about that? We're doing everything we can to maintain the poppy fields in Afghanistan. When the wicked Taliban were in power, they stopped growing the poppies, but now the heroic Americans are there. The poppy fields are producing more poppies than ever, heroin than ever before, and corrupting the whole world. Why are these things happening? Does it really make sense? Let's go to Frank, who's calling us from Southern California. Hi, Frank. How are you doing? Seconds for you to start. Well, you hang on, Frank, and we'll get to that question just in a moment or two. Our guest today has been certainly Bob Chapin. You hang on there, Frank. Our guest has been Bob Chapin from the International Forecaster. We'll be back in a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Bob, you heard the question. You know, if you have 20% of your holdings in gold and silver, what about China stocks? What about other investments that would be safe?
The world is not going to decouple from the United States and Western Europe. Everybody will be affected by the depression that we're now in America and Europe. And going someplace else is not going to leave you anything. The only currency that I'll go into if I had to right now would be the Canadian dollar, because it's a resource-based economy. the Swiss have decided that they're going to go in the market and buy either treasuries or corporate paper, and I'm against that. I think it's a bad move. They've also said that they won't let their currency appreciate, and that means that if you're invested in it and the dollar goes down and the Swiss franc doesn't go up because they manipulate it, then what's the sense in being in it? So if I have to be in a currency, it would be the Canadian dollar. As far as percentage, my feeling is that I think close to 100% of assets should be in gold and silver-related assets. And I don't know of any place else to go. I really don't even like recommending Canadian dollar or Canadian in treasuries. I think this is so one-sided that there's no place else you can be. I just don't know any other answer.
All right, Frank, does that answer?
I've been at this for a long time.
All right, yep. Frank, any other question?
Yes. I don't quite understand the theory of this. We're having deflation, which means that money is being taken out of the system, like, you know, bankrupt General Motors stock and bonds and all that sort of thing. So much money is being taken out of the system, but the government is putting in trillions of dollars, like their budget deficit next year is supposed to be $1.8 trillion. How can we have both deflation and inflation from the Treasury at the same time?
It's simple. It just is. They're doing it. You know, they've been doing it for 5.5 years. They're just creating more money and credit than is needed to offset deflation.
Frank, I'm afraid they're going to destroy the value of our currency. I think they know exactly what they're doing. These are not stupid people. They're brilliant people. But if you hate America, isn't that what you'd want to do?
Well, I guess that's about the truth.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest has been Bob Fletcher. Bob, thanks very much. I mean, Bob Chapman, thanks very much for being
here. I always needed a name change, you know that.
Well, when they're coming
after you. I'll see you later tonight.
Bye-bye. God bless. Okay, fine. That was Bob Chapman. And we, Bob, are you still there? No, I guess we lost Bob. Well, he wanted to know if we're going to do a program on Memorial Day, and we are planning on doing one. So basically, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty, my ministry, is primarily listener-supported, and of course we've got we're on almost 60 outlets every single week, and we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or if you go to our webpage of radioliberty.com, there's a donate button. My son put it up there. I don't understand how it works, but it works, and some people want to help us that way. Whatever you do, though, certainly, if you can't afford to help, then tell other people about the program and encourage them to listen. And you can go to our website, and you can actually pull down our radio programs there. They're archived, and they're MP3, and they're in blog, and you can listen to them on the satellite feed, and you can listen. So, and then, of course, you can watch our DVDs, which are posted on our website. And then we have a site where we link to a lot of important YouTube clips, which will help you to understand what's going on. And then, of course, you can read our newsletter. They're all free. Get the information, copy the newsletters, get them out. And it's fascinating as I go on the Internet and I look up very often subjects, and I see an interesting article, and I go to it, and it's one of my articles that I've written. So they are being reproduced all across America, trying to make people understand the spiritual forces that have energized the people that got us into where we are today. And I just learned this last few days that Alexander Hamilton, who created the first Bank of the United States, was involved in the occult. Now, I knew, of course, it was a deep occult involvement in the banking system, but I never realized Alexander Hamilton. And the reason that Alexander Hamilton wanted that bank was because he himself was involved with this occult movement to use America to bring about this one world government. Once you understand that, it all makes sense. You need to get certainly the information we have. We've got a couple of great new DVDs coming out. We'll have them as soon as my son David gets the packaging for them. But right now we're suggesting that if you'd like to understand what's happening, you may want to get the CD, and it's the CD of Pat Wood's excellent talk at our last conference on the trial after commission. You need to have that information at your fingertips. You need to understand the trial after commission because they are at the very apex of this brotherhood of darkness. And then, of course, we put together a syllabus. It's the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. And it's almost an inch thick. It's got the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and the Group of 30, and certainly the Council on Foreign Relations, and a little bit about all of those organizations. And then, of course, we have this great DVD on the Deadly Assassins. Actually, it's not a DVD. It's a 4-CD set. And, of course, it's my interview with trained assassins. They were trained by the CIA on how to kill people. And they did. And, of course, we need to have information, certainly about we have the 4-CD set on the sinking of the USS Liberty, where one of our ships, the USS Liberty, was stationed off the coast of the Sinai back in the 67 war. We were attacked by Israeli planes.